You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Trufin, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work for the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about if I were to start a YouTube channel in 2024, this is what I would do. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about picking my topic. We're going to be talking about setting a handful of channels, outlining some videos, SEOing, and bullet points scripting.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Trufin.
Before we go into the show, though.
Hi, George.
Hello. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm just so used to not being noticed.
I love that. But before we get into our full-fledged episode here, there was something you wanted to talk to me about.
Yeah. So I love being on the Academy calls because I feel like we always go over some questions that people like need answers to, right? Yeah. That's kind of the point. But so one of the biggest things was, should somebody repurpose their video?
Oh yeah, that was a great question. So this Academy member asked, they had a video that was kind of time sensitive earlier in the year based off of like a software company closing down, but that's kind of gone away now a couple months later, but the video is still, even outside of that being the main reason for having the video, is still relevant to audience members. And so he was asking if he could rebrand that with like a new thumbnail, a new title, and new tags without having to redo the video. He's like, I could, but if I could save, you know, a couple hours, why not do that?
Correct.
And so I thought that was interesting because I don't get that question often. And so I loved it. And we actually looked at his analytics because we talk about this all the time. I don't like making decisions or telling people what can or can't work until I see the analytics. Yeah. Now I can give you some ideas or like, hey, here are some best practices. But like when you actually have a situation, I want to see the data. And you know, all of our Academy members love showing me their analytics because that helps with the decision making.
Yeah.
And so we looked at his analytics, and sure enough, his video had declined pretty significantly since its peak back in January. And again, rightfully so, this company had closed down. And so it doesn't even exist anymore. And it closed down, like, I think at this point, it was like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I asked him a really big question. I was like, if this video goes to zero, it's dead, how do you feel? He's like, well, at this point, he's like, I've already made a really good amount of money from this with affiliates and ad revenue. He's like, with it having slowed down, I was like, if it completely goes to zero, I'll go ahead and make that video. I was like, awesome. Great information to know from my end. I was like, the answer is yes then.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and change out your data on this video. And if best case scenario, if you don't have to change anything, great. But also YouTube has an editor inside of YouTube Studio where if you absolutely needed to like edit one or two pieces out of the video to make it function even better, you can do that.
Yeah.
And so like you can edit like, saying, hey, this company's shut down, here are some alternatives. You can just cut that piece out and saying, hey, here are some alternatives for whatever he was helping his audience with. And so Schreier is just trying to be vague to, you know, hold his information for himself. And so now he gets to come up with a new thumbnail, come up with a new title, and then also retag his information. And so all this will kind of change the back end for YouTube seeing this video, and we'll start trying to test it out in different areas and potentially get it re-ranked in a way that will actually help him grow that for more evergreen. Because the way he approached it originally wasn't necessarily evergreen. It was definitely more in the moment. Yeah. And that was great. Like, I think you should take advantage when you can.
Took an opportunity and it paid off really well.
Yeah. And so now he's going to try to convert this into a more evergreen piece of content. Because again, the rest of the information on this video is so relative to anybody watching, regardless if it's today or 6 months from now as well.
Yeah, I think that was great in hearing that, right? It's like, oh, so you can just make some adjustments and not have to recreate the videos.
Yeah, and you know, I do want to also preface with this, and we talked about it previously too, which is you do want to get some good amount of data. Usually 90 days is what we like to get information on before making really drastic decisions. Correct. Small decisions here and there, okay, whatever. You know, we can do it with smaller data points, but with changing out a video's thumbnail, title, tags, and kind of like revamping it.
Yeah.
You know, when we looked at his information, sure enough, the last 90 days had been slowed down significantly. But if we were just looking at 28 days, I would have cautioned a little bit more because that wasn't enough information.
Yeah.
So for our content, what we like to do is usually when we release a piece of content, we don't change anything about it until at least 3 months, like bare minimum 3 months, because we want to make sure that the information is going in the right direction, finding its right space. And if we don't give it enough time, it's not going to be able to organically be found the way we would want it to be. So if we're trying to change the thumbnail or the title or both, and then the tags and the description, you know, over the course of like 28 days or 90 days or any time frame, like it's not giving it enough time to grow,
yeah,
so to speak. And so we want to be very cautious with that teaching of like, if you want to go through some of your old content and like adjust things, make sure you're looking at the analytics and make sure that there was enough time in between to make sure that we're not quickly jumping the gun and changing something because we just think that something isn't working because we just don't know until we see the data.
Yeah. And you've made a few good points of like, okay, if you change the thumbnail after the 90 days because it didn't perform, you got to wait another 90 days to see if that made the adjustment.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Because if you change it and then you change it again 3 days later or a week later,
you didn't give it enough time.
You didn't give it enough time.
Well, and the other thing you mentioned was essentially like, are you okay if this fails, so to speak, if you make the adjustments? Because if you're not, then you already have your answer. Like, even if I tell you to do it because I think it's a great idea or the data is saying it's a great idea, you're not going to feel okay doing it. Yeah. Right. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And emotions, man. Yeah. They get the best of us sometimes. We want to be right more often than we want to do the best for our audience sometimes. And that was me too. So it's not on anybody else, but even myself where at one point I wanted to be more right than I wanted to just win the process of YouTube as well. So, all right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and get started with today's episode.
Start the show.
All right. So George, thinking about starting a brand new channel in 2024.
Are you sure it's the right time?
You know, it's funny. So I actually run like 4 or 5 YouTube channels at this point. I'm starting to lose track.
Yeah.
So this is actually what I would do if I were starting YouTube in 2024. And so I want to give you a little bit of context if this is by chance your first episode with us on the podcast. So I'm Dennis Truffin. I do run multiple YouTube channels. Our main channel is called True Financials. I've been running it since 2017. I do it full time. Absolutely love what I do. And I've been able to create passive income through this platform and through the content that I create. And then I was able to take this style of content creation and put it into other channels. So I actually run other YouTube channels that do also generate income as well too. And so when I talk about getting started with a brand new channel, it's been a few years since I've actually done that, but also like in 2024, are there some differences than when I started in 2017? For sure.
Oh yeah.
And you know, having been in this space for long enough, I've seen great opportunities. And what I love too is I'm somebody of an open mind. So when somebody comes to me that's maybe a little bit newer in this process and has different ideas, I don't shut that down because I've been in it longer.
Yeah.
I actually look at that as like, ooh, what do you know that I don't yet? Because I want to know all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I love YouTube. That's why we do this podcast, because I could talk about YouTube all day, every day. Like we record a lot about YouTube. And so for me, you know, when it comes to starting a new channel, it's not just like, oh, hey, here's what I think I might know. Like, here's information that I'm sharing with people that I know to be true based off of the data points, based off of what I've tested out, and based off of how I've gotten to where I'm at. Now, is this style of what we do here the way that's going to work for everybody? Probably not, right? Not everybody cares about what we care about, which is passive income long-term.
Yeah.
Some people want more fame. Some people want getting lots of views early on. We don't focus on that. We focus on getting the right audience member to the right videos for the right products or the right intention and the right impact. So for us, we more so focus on that. Not saying one way is better than the other. I just like not having to stress out about making content all the time because, and I showed you, George, this, like I have some other channels where, you know, we kind of just work on it from time to time, but it still generates really healthy income for us, even in smaller doses, but for the amount of work that we do for those channels, it's pretty incredible what can be generated through either YouTube ad revenue, sponsors, affiliates, all those kind of plays.
Yeah.
So I bring that up because I just want to give people context of like who I am, where I kind of came from, and what I'm doing here, telling them how to start YouTube in 2024 and or how I would start YouTube in 2024, knowing what I know.
Yeah. No, and it's great because I'm, as he's talking about this and as we've done these podcasts, like I'm starting my own. So it's...
Yeah. So I'm taking a lot of what I'm sharing and making sure that you're kind of following through on that as well too. And being in the academy, you're being held accountable too, which I love.
Yeah.
Being held accountable is honestly the secret sauce. And having a group, which is what we do in our academy. But I've also recommended people, if you can't, you know, be in our academy, totally understand, find a group, put together a group, a little mastermind, you're going to see a world of difference, which is actually, honestly, probably what I would start with even before my first item here that I actually have on my list. I'm gonna scratch that and actually say the first thing I would do is actually find another group of people doing what I want to do.
Oh, wow.
So okay. The reason that's so important is because I know that was pivotal to my success.
Yeah.
And I've seen it be so impactful for the other people in this kind of group that I created. So I created a little mastermind. So what I would do if I'm starting YouTube in 2024 is I would find other YouTubers that are just kind of getting started or in those beginning stages as well, either by reaching out to them through email, whatever form of contact they have, maybe DMs on Instagram saying, hey, I see that you're doing YouTube or just getting started. Would you like to get into like a weekly call or bi-weekly call or a monthly call to kind of hold each other high and accountable and support each other?
Yeah.
Because that gold, honestly, is the most important thing. I wouldn't be here today talking on this podcast had I not done that myself. And I've shared that story fully in other episodes as well. So you can go and listen to those. But like, that's what I would do. If I was starting day one, I would actually focus on that first. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but the biggest reason is the accountability aspect. We get lost in the idea of like what to do and how to do it when we're just by ourselves versus having other inputs and other people kind of calling us out, asking us where our content is and getting us to actually go through this process. Cause it's a lot. It's a whole bunch of hats that you're wearing going into being a YouTuber.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. If you're not where I'm trying to go, right? Or if you're not currently in it where I'm trying to go, right? And if we're not in it together or you haven't been through it, like it makes it hard to listen or hear or whatever it is. Like, you can't help me.
Yeah, you gotta be in the thick of it with me if I want to take, you know, your advice or you have experienced it yourself, for sure. So finding a group of people, and I know that sounds so weird before even starting anything else on this new YouTube channel, I would do that.
Yeah, finding your support group.
Eventually. Finding a support group, either by A, cultivating it yourself, or B, you can come join us with our academy or any other groups that have something similar, Facebook groups, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But making sure that it's cultivated in a way that is a support group, because it's different than just going into a random group and people are talking about their thumbnails or telling each other to watch videos. Like, that doesn't support if you're just going and watching each other's videos. Like, I'm talking about real accountability in this space.
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. So let's say I got my support group. What's the next thing?
I am picking my niche.
Okay. And like, how niching down are you niching down?
As niche as I can niche down. Like, I would have a channel about niching down.
Okay.
Like, that's how niche down I would get. Now, I mean, it's all jokes, right? But like, realistically, I would pick a very specific topic. And I'll give you an example, right? If I wanted to talk about working out, that is way too broad. Now, if I want to talk about, you know, working out while running a full-time business, that would be so different because that's so much more niche. Now I'm going and supporting people who are running businesses that maybe don't have as much time. Mm. So now I can support them.
Your audience is specifically at first those people.
Yes. And that's a great point right there too, because what I want to do is niche down so much that I am actually, what most people think is limiting their decision-making, which is actually better versus being so broad and being like, oh, I want to talk about 18 topics. I get it. It's very fascinating for us to be able to share all of who we are.
Yeah.
Well, early on in the process, when YouTube doesn't know who you are and you don't have clarity on who you are and who you're going to reach, it's going to be so much harder for the symbiosis of YouTube finding the audience for you if they don't know who you are and you don't know who you are and your audience doesn't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And in that context of like, okay, if I'm going to be, and I actually don't plan on making this channel. So if you want to take this, please, by all means, go ahead and take it. Join my academy and tell me how you're doing. So if I were to pick my niche, which is working out as an entrepreneur, entrepreneur working out, whatever. I don't know what the title would actually be, but like, that's my niche. My niche is doing work, like teaching workouts for entrepreneurs, because I would understand their mindset. Like, hey, they got limited time. Yeah. Maybe they don't have the opportunities like a regular schedule would have to go and do these workouts at a gym. Maybe I'll teach them how to do things while they're in their office, maybe while they're on the go, maybe while they're traveling, all of these different things. So I become so niche down in saying, hey, this is all I focus on. Are business entrepreneurs that want to stay healthy. Maybe not get like crazy fit, but just stay healthy.
Yeah.
Right. And like, as I run into those problems when I'm at a conference, I'm like, man, it'd be so much nicer if I had certain things that people teach me how to do it while in a small hotel room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like the limitations that come with that. And so like, that would be my niching down. And this is the part I really want to stress out is when you niche down this much, it doesn't have to be forever. And I think that's the critical part that a lot of people get fearful of. And so when I think about this, I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going to start. This is not going to be my end goal.
This is not the end.
Could I eventually just be a workout channel? Sure. Could I be something more towards the entrepreneur side of this topic? Sure. I'm not as worried about that. What I am worried about is not being clear on my message of who I'm trying to reach so that YouTube understands me faster so my audience can come to me quicker.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I am niching down further and further, again, the mentality that most of us have is, oh, if I niche down so much, I'm not going to be able to share a lot. There's not going to be a lot for me to talk about. Good. Because that means that when you make the content, you're being so intentional with what you're making. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to content creators who are like, oh, I want to make all these things, and then can't put any of it into action because there's so many choices.
There's so much.
And we talk about this all the time in this book. I should just have the book like here on camera when we're watching the video podcast.
Atomic Habits.
No. It's the 10X is easier than 2X.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't read that book, it's from Dan Sullivan. Great book. It actually kick-started a lot of stuff for me. It's actually what got me to hire you, which was when you're limited on choices, it's so much clearer on what you have to do to get to that next level, right? So if you're like, oh, I want to talk about all things working out, and all things business, well, all of a sudden you have so many things that you want to do that you almost get to none of it. Versus if you say, hey, I'm going to do how to work out as a business entrepreneur while traveling and, you know, doing all your stuff, you're so limited on what you can make. Even though it feels like there's not enough, you're eventually going to find so much content to make that it's going to be still not enough.
Yeah.
Right. Like I do on my main channel, I teach people how to utilize their financial apps and services. I will never have enough time to make all of the content I can make. And that's niched down pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's, to me, it's actually so much better when I niche down, because it gives me more clarity on what I should be making. And sure enough, when I make exactly what I'm trying to aim for an audience, those people are going to be finding me so much faster.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, is I am picking my niche and I'm niching down, and then I'm going to niche down even further when I can. Mm. And I wanted to really go into that because I know that there's a lot of hesitation. I understand. Trust me. I started off just talking about generic finance because I thought that was already niche enough. And then once I went further into the niche of tutorials on my main channel, that's when everything blew up. And then I made multiple channels where they were hyper specific in different niches, and they all have done well as well too. So yeah, that's what I would do. Is first. Well, technically second.
Technically
right?
Second.
It would be
the group.
The group. And then it would be niching down. So then, now that I've niched down a little bit and figured out what kind of where I want to go, the next thing I want to do is study a handful of channels.
Yeah, you taught me that.
Yeah. And you're doing that right now too with your stuff. So if I'm doing this entrepreneur workout stuff, I want to go start looking to see if other channels are doing this, either hyper specifically or as one-off shoots on videos. I want to go find these channels. Now, it's usually pretty easy for people to say, oh, I already know some big channels, maybe 100,000, a million subscribers. I actually want to look for the channels that are 5,000 to 20,000 subscribers in these niches or within these, like in the realm of these niches, and also see what some of their most popular videos are. Because one of my favorite things to do, especially if I'm researching to start a brand new channel right now in 2024, or 2025, or whenever you're listening to this, I want to see, okay, if this channel has 5,000 subscribers and I go to their most popular videos and I see one of their most popular videos has 50,000 views, I found gold.
Yeah. And you're just giving away all the secrets. Like, but that's the point, yeah. Right? Yeah. And you've taught me that. I was like, why would you do that? And it's because they did something right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to have 100,000 subscribers and 50,000 views. Yeah. Right. It's another thing to have 5,000 subscribers and
a video that's 50,000 views. And so what that's telling me is that it could have been browse, it could have been search, it could have been a couple different things. But when we dig in, and I typically want to dig in to find out if it is, you know, a search based content piece, because then I'm like, ooh, can I do that?
Yeah.
Can I get into that kind of ranking, especially if it's a small channel with a lot of views? Because like you said, if it's a bigger channel with, you know, 50,000 views, there's a good chance that a lot of their already subscribed audiences watch that. So it's like, okay, they just built up a really good following to get those people to watch the video, versus somebody with 5,000 subscribers getting a 50,000 view video.
Yeah.
All those people came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
They were not already subscribed. They were not already followers, all these things. And so that gives me so much clarity. And especially if, again, let's go back to this 5,000 subscriber channel. If I'm doing this research and studying them, they have, let's say, a 50,000 videos or viewed video, a 35,000 viewed video, 20,000, 20,000, 20,000 viewed video. And there's a couple of those. I struck twice.
Yeah.
Right. And so like then and it's not that I want to copy and paste these. I never want to carbon copy anybody. And I never recommend that for anybody as well. But what that's telling me is that there's an audience there regardless of the size of the channel. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about coming out of the gate, starting off with, you know, zero subscribers or a small handful of subscribers, because I know that that's a vanity metric. And so what this is really telling me is that what people are yearning for in this niche is saying, hey, I just want the information as best as possible presented to me as quickly as possible as well.
Yeah.
So then seeing that, you know, 50,000 views on a 5,000 subscriber channel tells me that's what they're yearning for.
Yeah.
So then I can also attain that as well. No matter how big or small the channel is, I can get those views based off of ranking my content properly and actually serving an audience the best way I can.
Yeah. No. Struck gold and giving this secret sauce away. But I think it's great. Like when you told me you do that, I was like, that makes so much sense. But would I have had thought to do that? No. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So and I've been doing that for years. Even I still do this to this day on my main channel too. Like I'll go do research on new videos coming out that I want to make. And I'll go through search and see, hey, are the top like three searches small channels? And then like they're getting like 40,000 views on a video and they have, you know, 6,000 subscribers. I'm like, ooh, clearly they hit a chord here. Can I do something similar? And how can I best approach this to serve my audience the best? So like I still do that to this day, but like starting this new channel, I would definitely want to make sure I'm doing this research ahead of time.
Yeah. It's like doing the heavy lifting beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's something, I mean, you're going to explain that, but doing all these things beforehand will just set you up for when you create that video.
Yeah. So what we actually want to do too is in the context of like actually finding these handful of channels, we're also doing some SEO work as well.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at by typing in on the search bar on YouTube or even in Google, because honestly, they're kind of interconnected at this point for the most part. And so I can start typing in things that I would think that people are looking for. I usually tell people, especially if I'm starting a channel early on, I want to serve the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
What's the most common questions? I don't care if 100 people are going to watch this video or 1,000 people are going to watch this video. How do I best serve an audience? What are their struggles? How can I best serve them? And so I SEO these words or like these searches that people are going to look for. How do I work out in a hotel room with limited space?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I look and see, you know, are people looking for this? Are people inquiring about this? You know, how many people are looking? Is there any videos that are like high quality that are producing this content? If not, I want to be that person.
Yeah.
Right. So I SEO this search engine optimization because I want to make sure that if I'm going to create content, I don't want to just willy-nilly think that I know what's best for people. I want to actually know what is best for people. Like, what are people looking for? How do I best serve them? And so typing into the YouTube search bar starts populating responses that those are the things people are looking for.
Yeah.
So if I typed in, how do I work out in a hotel room? And it might show up in like different forms after that, or, you know, before even writing hotel, work out, and then it says where they're maybe trying to work out or how to work out. Those are the things I'm looking for and saying, okay, is there a lower competition here? Obviously, some of the how do I work out is probably, it'd be impossible.
Very broad, yeah.
So I want to get a little bit more niche even in the first set of content pieces that I make. So saying, how do I work out in a hotel room with limited space would probably be a really great, what they call long form keyword, where it's more specific. And over time, that specific video can become more broad in its search term if it ranks well, if it performs well, if it has essentially all the right metrics that we talk about in these podcast episodes. So that's what I would do. I would look at, you know, what are people searching for? And then while I'm doing that, I'm essentially almost outlining my first 10 videos.
Yeah.
And what I really want to think about is, and we've done this on the podcast as well too. When we started this podcast, you know, we're saying, okay, if we were to build a foundation of how to do YouTube, right? I'm thinking about like concrete and like building foundation. Like
should do pavers.
Do pavers. Yeah. So like if we're sitting here and like saying, okay, the first set of videos that I produce should be ideally foundational to the channel and to the topic that I'm going to start off with.
Yeah.
And I did preface with starting off with. If you change it later, that's fine. But like starting off with, if we're going to be talking about business owners doing workouts, what are like the 10 most important aspects to this? Like nutrition, you know, equipment, you know, location, you know, limited timing, like things that I can refer back to in the future. So I would lay out the groundwork. And again, we also did this on the podcast. So if you really want to go look and scroll all the way down to our original videos, the first 10 videos here were foundational videos.
Yeah.
Like super foundational. And some people might be like, oh, I already know how to upload a video, or I already know how to do a thumbnail. Like, but we still talked about them because those are foundational. I'm not going to judge anyone for not knowing those things, but I want to serve them in case they are. So I created a foundation, and that's what I would do with this YouTube channel. I would create a 10 video outline saying, okay, what are some of the most common things I want to make sure that I cover for this channel? And then I want to go through what we call the MAT method.
Yeah.
So the MAT method is Shaw playbacks. And this is where we connect all of our videos together over time. It's a lot easier once you have a big library. But at the beginning, what I would do is write out my 10 videos, ideas of what I want to do. Not, I don't need details yet.
Yeah, I don't need title. I don't need description.
Yeah, just the overall basis of what I want to talk about. And then I want to draw arrows from one title to the next of which ones are going to be interconnected.
Yeah.
So a great example would be like, hey, here are five pieces of equipment that I would recommend for business entrepreneurs that want to work out.
Yeah.
Right. And then that one would lead to, here are five ways to work out in a limited space. And those two videos could be interconnected.
Yeah.
You know, or you could even do like a five travel workout equipment pieces.
Yeah.
Foundational, like real foundational. But I would draw arrows saying, okay, this video would lead into this one would lead into that one. And what I'm really doing is mapping out a whole series and journey for somebody that says, hey, if somebody finds one of my videos, how am I going to send them through my entire journey? So it's like binge watching, right? So like you think about Netflix, like Netflix obviously will say, hey, here's the first episode of the series. But with YouTube, it's like they could find any video in the series. How do you send them back to the start point or, you know, throughout your entire series? So we want all of our videos interconnected some way. Sometimes you can have multiple videos going to one. Sometimes you can have a whole chain reaction of like from this to this to this to that. And so whichever way works best for you, I would at least encourage a couple of crossovers where there's at least a few videos sending from one to another. And then maybe one of them is kind of like your main foundation piece that you can send people back to all the time.
Yeah.
So like the equipment video would be a great one because you can always say, hey, now that you learned this, check out our travel equipment that we recommend for business owners.
In case you didn't have it. Yeah.
In case you didn't have it. Right. So that's the way I would kind of like structure that piece.
Yeah.
And then once I figured out what these 10 videos are, you know, because I did the SEO work for it and then I had these 10, then I would start either fully scripting or bullet pointing, depending on what works best for the person.
Yeah.
I love bullet points. I like to kind of free flow things, but some people want to really make sure that they're writing everything down. So whichever way works, I would at least do the first five and I would do them all together and not one at a time. Because I think the way I've experienced it myself is that if I go through the process of going and creating one video from start to finish, I can get exhausted by the end.
Yeah.
And what does it look like for me to be in a certain mindset and a certain hat when it comes to writing my script or bullet points, then recording in a batch, and then actually editing in a batch? And so for me, what I would do is I would actually do the bullet points or the full scripting, whichever works best for you again, all in one go for the first five episodes. So I would say, okay, here are going to be the five videos that I want to focus on. And then I would break them all down, write the scripts or the bullet points, and then making sure that in that bullet point, I would actually write which video comes next that I'm going to point to on screen. So I can make sure I'm taking people on the right journey and supporting them from one problem to the next. And because sometimes they don't even know what that next problem is, and I'm going to be there to solve it for them.
Yeah.
So I would do that. So I would spend a whole day essentially scripting and bullet pointing. Then I would spend another day recording. Right. So I would record these five episodes. So like, even if it said 30 minutes an episode to record altogether, right, that would be a couple hours. And then I would edit a separate day or even the same day if I have enough energy. Right. So like I'm dispersing these tasks.
So it doesn't feel daunting or
daunting because you're usually in a certain mood or mode, I should say. We talked about it in our batching videos episode where, you know, when you're in the writing mode, like it's so much easier to continue on more writing than it is to write, then switch over and put on your acting hat, and then switch over and put on your editing hat, and then switch over and put on your, you know, producer hat. Like, it's just, there's so many hats that you got to wear anyway. So it's, at least for me, I found it to be more effective when I am in one mode for as many as I can do and then move on to the next thing. So I have all these, I would go through that whole process. So I would do the first five.
Yeah.
Now I have all five. Let's say I have them edited, right? In this point in my career, obviously, I'm just starting a brand new channel, and you can be in different spaces. Maybe you have money to be able to afford different things, or maybe you're like me when I first started. I had zero money to spend, so I had to do everything on my own. Totally great too, and I commend people for that. If you have the means, and which I would at this point, I would pay somebody to edit my videos. The time that it takes is a lot, but if I can't do that, I would obviously edit them myself. But that's what I would do. Outsourcing editing is probably the most vital thing you can do to save time, and then outsourcing thumbnails is the most effective way to outsource. Mm-hmm. So both of them have their pros and cons, obviously time-wise with outsourcing editing, and then efficiency when it comes to outsourcing thumbnails. Because if you're not good at the art part of that, thumbnails are critical. So I would outsource my editing, probably do my own thumbnails, but I could also outsource that as well too while going through this process. So I'd have my 5 videos ready to go, and I'm going to start uploading them. Upload those videos, making sure that they all have the right descriptions, making sure that at the end screens that they're linked up from one video to the next. And I would schedule them to each come out one day at a time. Mm-hmm. So what I would do, let's say it's a Monday. So I'd have the first one come out Monday, second one come out Tuesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday. So the first 5 videos would come out
in the same week.
Yeah, in 1 week, 5 days in a row. And then depending on how I would want to go about it, if I have time and I'm a little bit more ambitious, I would start making sure that I can get ready to start producing 1 to 2 pieces of content a week. Understand that everybody's in a different space in their life, and some people can do like once a month or twice a month. The more you can do with your production content-wise, like the faster you're going to start learning what works and doesn't work for your channel. So I would probably go most likely the route of at least 2 a week. But if worst case, I would start with 1 and then kind of gradually increase to 2 for now. So those first 5 videos I would release on Monday. And while that first one is releasing, I would start working on the next set of 5. Mm-hmm. Because by the time I create those 5 scripts and get everything started, those first 5 videos are already coming out and already starting to generate. Now, the reason I chose to do 5 all at once is because if I tried to do 5, those first 5 videos and do 1 a week, because I'm like, oh, I'm going to be limited on my time. If somebody finds my first video in the first week and they watch it and they go look at my channel and there's nothing else there,
they have nowhere else to go.
They have nowhere else to go. I'm not doing them anything.
I'm a bounce.
Yeah, I'm not doing them a service, right? So like having 5 videos at least gives us a foundational piece that if somebody were to like our video and want to watch more, there's something for them to binge, you know, so they can go through and like watch more content. But yeah, like releasing 1 video a week for 5 weeks, it'll take you 5 weeks to get that first batch of content out. Like that's too long of a time for my sake to be able to have a good starting point for my channel. And so I would do that. And then, yeah, I would release about 2 videos every single week to be able to continue to produce content, understand my audience, get the data, because the data is going to tell me a lot about what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
And then be able to continue to go from there. And then as I stay in this niche and I continue to grow, I can then start focusing in on affiliate plays. I can focus in on fine tuning my skill set, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's consistent learning, improving, outsourcing if I needed to in certain areas, and kind of go through this process so that way this channel can grow effectively and efficiently for the long term.
Yeah, no, that's great. And again, I'm soaking this in because I'm literally in the process.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked about, oh, should I post these videos or what should I do? And I'm literally in the phase of scripting out all of my 10 because I've mapped out my 10 and now I'm in the process of scripting it so that way I can record without worrying about like, oh, well, what's the next video I need to do? It's like, oh, it's already, I pre-laid it out so that way I can batch record.
Yeah. And I think you're going to do your first 10.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're going to have the 5 in the first week and then like at least 1 a week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or we've talked about 1 a week.
Yeah.
Just because of our life.
Yeah. 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 And obviously, yeah, like I said, and you can always upgrade to 2 a week as well too. And I think if possible, 1 a week is always going to be great. Just keeps your consistent flow. And it also gives you more of that information and your audience has something to come back to on a regular basis as well too, I think is always a great thing.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
Yeah. So kind of just going over overall of this. So if I were to start a YouTube channel in 2024, this is what I would do is first and foremost, find a support group.
Yeah.
Whether you want to start one, find one, or come join us. We have our academy. You can check out the resources in the show notes. It's a monthly membership. We're going to support you, hold you accountable, and find out what works and doesn't work for your channel based off analytics. Then I'm going to pick my topic and niche down.
Like niche down.
Niche down. And then I'm going to study a handful of channels, look for channels around 5,000 to 20,000 subscribers and see their most popular videos and use that as a starting point to understand what I'm going to be SEOing and what's going to work. Then I'm going to outline the first 10 videos and then I'm going to bullet point and slash script the first 5 and I'm going to do that all in one go. Then I'm going to record, then edit, then upload those first 5 and release them within 5 days of each other, ideally Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And then while those are getting released, I would start working on my next 5 to then be able to do a 2 release per week schedule and continue to work for improving my skill sets and learning what's working and what's not working based off of the analytics that are available for us.
Yeah. No, that helps out a lot.
Yeah. So there you go. You got all of those resources. Now you can go and take some action. Check out those resources in the show notes if you want to join our academy or any of the other tools that we utilize when it comes to running a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize. Again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.